All right, tonight, if you would, take your Bible and turn to 2 Timothy chapter number 1. Paul writes to this this young preacher that we've spoken of him a number of times, very close fellowship that they had together. And Paul writes 1 Timothy, the first letter to him. And now in chapter number 1 are these first words of the second letter or the epistle to Timothy. He starts out in verse number 1, says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, our dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith, that word unfeigned means genuine or real faith, that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that in thee also. Therefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Here Paul writes to this young man, Timothy, this young preacher, and he is giving him instruction. And if we was to have the time to go through all this, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy gives him much instruction about life and ministry and serving the Lord. I want us to just sort of key in on a little phrase here and then build a message around that, what's found in verse number 1. It says, according to the promise of life. I'm glad tonight that most of us here in this auditorium, we have an understanding of what life is all about. But for the majority of people in our country and even in our community, as rural as it might be and as the community around us, there are many people that miss out upon what life is all about. Their lives are self-serving. Across this country, people are more concerned about what they can gain, what they can get, no matter what it, how it affects someone else. And the religion of humanism has permeated our society that we are only concerned about what is good for us in the human aspect. We have the teachings of anti-God. We have a system that has steadily developed over the years that has removed our Lord and removed religion as such, even from the schoolrooms, the classrooms, and there are some church rooms that no longer really preach the gospel. And so they, if we don't know the gospel, if we don't know the Lord, we certainly do not understand what life is all about. Paul says here to Timothy, he says, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. The life that we have is because of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can remember when our country was much different than it is tonight. We find on every corner, we find terrible things that are taking place. We hear of all the difficulties as far as the races are concerned. We hear of the political problems across our country. We hear of the moral problems across our country, and the vital part of our livelihood is seemingly being destroyed, and the foundation is being weakened and literally destroyed beneath us. And it's all because people don't know the promise of life that is in Christ and the Lord in which we know. Over the years, we have seen a number of things take place. We have seen the Bible. We've seen prayer taken out of our schools. We've seen men no longer welcome to preach in certain areas. What we would call the good days, the good old days, are gone forever. And they're gone from our homes, they're gone from our churches, they're gone from our schools, and we've removed any sensibility or understanding of morality. And we've left an emptiness and a void there that has been replaced. Anytime there's a void, anytime there's an empty spot, Satan knows how to replace that with some things that are very, very ungodly. We have, even this past week, I think it has been another school shooting. We hear of that continually. We hear of the drugs. We hear of the problems in our communities. I've been listening to some of the reports today and this week on the drug abuse that's in our communities, our small communities. It's no longer in the big cities like Chicago and Philadelphia and Cincinnati and New York. It's in little towns like Madisonville and Hanson, and it's all around us because we have made an emptiness. We've made a void there, and we've let that take place. And then Satan has come in, and he has filled that with really murder and our society full of drugs, and we find same sex, we find sodomy, you name it, you can find it everywhere you look. And that is not life. That is not the promise of life. That is not the good life. That is not the good things that God has promised unto us. But when we get rid of standards, when we get rid of standard barriers, nothing to go by. If there's no standard out there, we don't know how we tally up. Now, the Lord should be our standard, and of course, we're always way behind Him and way below Him. But He's our standard, and this book is our standard that we have. And we are we are to do our best to build upon a foundation that would help us to reach a standard as far and as close to possible as what the Lord would have for us. And so tonight, I just want us to think about that promise of life, what the Lord has. Our homes are filled with disaster. Children are coming from dysfunctional families. Both man and woman, neither one are there many of the times. And so the void, the emptiness is so great. And the devil and the world has moved in and has filled that void with ungodliness that is literally robbing the souls of our young folks and the souls of people around us. But we as born-again believers, we should know better. We should be able to protect our homes and should be able to protect our children. And I think we ought to instruct and help and encourage them to live according to the principles of God's Word and to live not like animals, but live like people. We're not brute beasts. And Peter tells us that there comes a time when people are going to act just like brute beasts. And we are right there at that. And so we are human beings made in the image of our God. We are an eternal soul. And we're going to live somewhere. And of course, the devil, he desires to destroy and to tear down and to defeat everything that is holy and righteous. That's why that missionary that I just read that letter from, that's why he's having difficulty. Because he's in a society that has never, in hundreds of years, have never had any pretense of true gospel preaching in the last 150, 200 years. And so we find that people live like an animal because we are taught that we are animals. We are taught that we're the highest evolved in the animal kingdom. I dare to say I'm not an animal. I'm not in the animal kingdom. I'm in the family of God. I'm a human being. And so we find there's a different world philosophy. There's a different world view. And Paul is telling Timothy here, he says that he is an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. So the life that we have and the promise that we have of good things doesn't come from education, it doesn't come from society, it comes from the Lord Jesus Christ and knowing Him. And so Paul begins this second epistle with these words of encouragement to Timothy, that God has a plan for his children. I'm glad tonight God has a plan for your life. I'm glad he has a plan for my life. Can I miss that? Can we miss the plan of God? Yes, we can. Can we possibly not live up to where the Lord wants us to live? Yes, we can. But it's good to know God has a standard out there. God has a plan out there that if we will stay true to him and live for him, he will work this plan out and we will understand this promise of life that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was a man, I believe, really, that he was a man with a mission. He was a man that had been called by the Lord, and we can read the story back in the book of Acts of his conversion and how that the Lord converted him, saved him there on the road to Damascus, and immediately gave him the outline of his life. If you read there in Acts chapter, I believe it's chapter 9, if you read that, you'll find the Lord says, I have called him for this purpose. And he gives about a four-point thing here that is the purpose of God in Paul's life. And Paul fulfilled that purpose. And later on in this book of 2 Timothy, Paul tells Timothy, he said, I have finished my course. God gave me a plan. God gave me a walk. God gave me a desire. He said, I am an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ by the will of God. And so he was there because of God's will in his life. Paul was not accidentally on the road to Damascus. Paul was there by, a divine purpose of the Lord. Paul didn't just happen to see and hear and the message. Paul didn't just happen to be a persecutor. Paul didn't just happen to become a Christian. I believe God called him, God saved him there that day and made him an apostle unto the people, and especially unto the Gentiles. The Old Testament, they had the priest. New Testament, we don't have priests. You know why? Because we are priests. The Scripture very clearly tells us that we can go boldly to the throne of God. We don't have to have somebody go for us. There's nothing wrong with sharing your burden with somebody, but there's no such thing as an earthly priest that can take away your sin or do away with your iniquities. We are a believer priest, and we can go to the Lord for ourselves, and we can ask forgiveness, and God will hear us. We don't need the Old Testament priest, and Paul tells us in the book of Hebrews, those things were just a pattern of what was to come. And we don't have priests, we don't have apostles today. We have ministers, we have preachers, we have missionaries, we have people that are in the will of God, serving the Lord, and do understand and do know what the promise of life is. I have a promise tonight. You have a promise tonight that one day we're going to be delivered in the very presence of our Lord. We have the promise that we're going to be changed in a moment and a twinkling of an eye. We have the promise that one day Jesus is coming and we're going to be with him. We have a promise that this old world system that we so desperately despise and hate and see the wickedness and the corruption. Everywhere you look is corruption and wickedness. Every direction you turn your face is there. But I have a promise that one day that's going to be ended. I'm going to be in the kingdom of our God, and it's going to be established here. And Jesus is going to be the ruler. He's not going to be under anyone. He's going to be the supreme. The Scripture calls him the supreme potentate. He's the one that is going to be over all things, and he's going to rule out of the city of Jerusalem. We have that promise. We know the promise of life. And so Paul was a man that had the mission of the Lord. He was called, he tells us here in verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Paul didn't, he didn't candidate for it. He didn't look for it. He didn't desire it. But he became an apostle of the Lord by the will of God. God used him and probably used him. Used him more than any other person than would be in our history books. And so we realize that we're on a mission also. The Lord has saved us for a purpose. This instruction that Paul gives to Timothy, he said, I am what I am by the will of God. The will of God has come into my life. Timothy was a preacher. Timothy maybe was a pastor. And but yet he still needed the instruction of the Apostle Paul. And I don't know of any of us that ever get to the point that we do not need instruction. We need help. We need someone to encourage us. We need someone to help us along the way. Doesn't matter how many books somebody might write, they still need somebody to encourage them. Because we have not arrived at our heavenly home yet. We have not arrived at the position and place where we will be one day. So therefore, we need to have the will of God in our personal lives, just like Paul did and just like Timothy would have to have in his life. So Paul was a man with a mission, and he was trying to instruct Timothy along these lines. Life has a meaning. Aren't you glad tonight there is a purpose in life? There's a purpose. Why? We hear people ask questions. Why am I here? Where did I come from? Where am I going? Why am I here? Those are questions from people that do not have the total understanding. But here Paul talks about this promise of life. And I believe one of the great problems in our society today is so many people do not have a purpose. They just exist. They don't really have any reason. They don't have any ability. They don't have any desire. They don't have any want to. They're just existing from every 24-hour cycle. And every day becomes just like the last day. And the next day they have nothing to look forward to because it's going to be just like this day. That's not purpose. That's just existence. A vital part of life is missing when we do not know and have the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has put a purpose in our lives. His purpose was to come and die for sinners. The purpose He gives to us is that we come to know Him, and therefore we tell others about Jesus our Lord. A vital part of life is the knowledge. And Paul says here, according to the promise of life, and it becomes with the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Those of us that know Him, those of us that have Him in our life. Man everywhere is religious. You can go anywhere you want to go in this world, and you're going to find people that are religious. They bow to something. It may be a stone, it may be a tree, it may be an idol. It may be to some individual, but they're worshiping something. God has put within the heart of man that we know we are to worship. And the thing that we have to do as believers is tell the world who they need to worship. And that is, of course, our Lord. We are innately religious in everything that we do. Many worship gods on every corner. When we were in the Philippines, we went to places and everywhere, and they had their idols everywhere. We went into this cathedral. I mean, it's a beautiful place. Right in the middle of a city that was very, very poor. And outside, I think in the pictures that I showed when we came back, outside was a man that was begging, had nothing. He probably was a leper. His fingers were gone and his sight was gone. And he was there and all he could do was beg. And nobody even paid attention. You go past him, go in the doors of that cathedral, that church, that building, and the whole front of it, probably 100 feet wide, was solid gold. But yet the people have nothing. And I saw ladies picking their children up so they could touch the foot of some patron saint, stooped in idolatry. And how they need the Lord. You know, they don't have they do not have the promise of life. They don't have life much here, just breathing, just existing. And they have no promise of life in the hereafter. So Paul had a message. And that message was a promise from the Lord. God loves us, and He wants the best for us. And that best is found in Jesus Christ. Everything is founded upon Him. Not only that, he had a friend. His name was Timothy. He calls him here in this passage. He says, "To Timothy, my dearly beloved son." He was a son in the ministry. He had followed Paul. He had been with Paul. He had been in that that group that traveled around with Paul. And now Paul is writing to him, and he would desire to come and be with him, but there's only one problem when he says that, is because Paul is in prison. He says, but to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, a son in the gospel, a son in the ministry. Not only was Timothy his son, but Timothy was his brother. We that are saved, we are brothers and sisters in the Lord. And so we have that fellowship of a family together. And not only that, he was a dear friend. And Paul writes to him and instructs him in the promise of life. Paul gives him some things that he is to do, and Paul recalls some things he knows about Timothy. Notice here, we read in verse 5, he says, I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. And he says, which dwelt first in thy grandmother, Lois, and thy mother, Eunice. He said, your grandmother had real faith, genuine faith. Your mother had real, genuine faith. And then Paul says, I'm persuaded that it's in thee also. So here we have Timothy, the mother, the grandmother. Paul said, God's given you the promise of life. He said, I'm convinced that you have the same faith. You have the same thing that your mother and your grandmother had. Paul says, I call to remembrance that faith that is in thee. It dwelt in your family. Not only that, he tells us in 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse number 16. He tells us that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished. Timothy, you have the message. You have the plan. You have everything that you need in order to do the work of the Lord. And so we find Paul had a message, Paul had the understanding of life, and Paul had a friend, Paul had a son, Paul had a brother in Christ that he could deal with. And this message that Paul had, we find in these next three words in verse number 2. It's the message that you and I have, and it will supply to the world the promise of life. What's the message? Grace, mercy, and peace. Tonight, our message does not change. These are words from the Apostle Paul. And he gives these things that are necessary for a believer to continue in the faith. He tells them that because of these things, it's available, and because of these gifts that are given, makes us accepted in the Lord Jesus Christ. These three little words, grace, mercy, and peace. Well, we could stop here tonight, and so next Wednesday night we'll do a message on grace. We could stop here and say, well, the next Wednesday night we'll do a message on the mercy of the Lord. And we could say, and then the next one we'll just do a message on the peace of God. Because that is our promise of life. That is what God has given to us. The promise of grace is for every trial. Every trial that comes our way, God gives us grace. He saves us by grace. We live by the grace of God. The trials come, and they're different for all of us. They're different in every situation, in every family. Some trials are financial. Some are very personal. Some are very different from somebody else. The trials that we go through, but God has the same grace for each of us that we can be under the load and get under the burden and to realize that God cares for us and there is a purpose and there's a reason for everything that God does. Brother Tom Ferris is in a nursing home and God's given him grace. Every time you talk to him, he says everything's well. And he talks about dying easier than I talk about living. I was talking to him the other day, and I mentioned something. He said, well, He said, that probably, I told him something somebody would like to have. He said, well, I've got one. He said, from what the doctors tell me, he said, I probably can give it to you. I'm not going to need it too much longer. And he's facing just a little while. I think they gave him 6 months, and three or four of them have gone by. So you start counting down, and you face death. You know how you do that? By the grace of God. It is God's loving grace to us that He helps us to go through those problematic times. There hath no temptation, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10, there is no temptation taking you but such as common to man. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above all that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. You know what our escape is? One of these days we're going to be with the Lord. That's our escape. And nothing comes our way that hasn't come to somebody else. But thank God for His grace that helps us to face that. Patty's sister's in surgery right now. That's a terrible situation. Very, very critical of life. And that's a burden that family's bearing. But you know what? God has His grace for that. I'm not going through that. I might tomorrow. Do you realize every time we pass someone on a road, you're about 3 feet from eternity? Brother Earl was talking about tonight out here on the four lane. A car just stopped right in front of me. He said if it hadn't been another lane there, he said I'd hit him. We're just that close to leaving this world. But thank God for His grace. Paul says to Timothy, he says, my dearly beloved son, there's grace. There's mercy. Grace is the promise for every trial. Mercy is the promise to help in every failure. And my, we are failures. We can't talk too much about our successes because our failures are far greater. They're far more pronounced. There are far more of them. Jeremiah 33 verse 8 says, and I will cleanse them from all their iniquity whereby they sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities thereby they have sinned and whereby they have transgressed against me. God says, I'll show them mercy. Mercy is us not getting what we deserve. God doesn't give us what we deserve. Have you ever prayed, Lord, give me what I deserve? Oh no, you better not. Don't even pray for patience, because troubles come with that. We don't pray for that. We pray, God, give us mercy. Lord, help us, deliver us. And He says to His about His own people, He says, I'm going to cleanse them from their iniquity. I'm going to deliver them. I'm going to pardon them from their sins. That word pardon means it's gone. Never to be recalled again. So there's the mercy of the Lord. Timothy, you have grace, you have mercy. And I thank the Lord tonight we have the promise of peace. As grace is for every trial and mercy is for every failure, peace is for the entire trip. From here to glory, God gives us peace. I have the peace of God in my heart, and I have peace with God. And only through the Lord Jesus Christ can we have that. John chapter 14 verse 27 says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not the world as the world giveth, but I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Peace. Peace that passes all understanding. May God help us tonight when we look around. We may see a world in conflict. We may see our family in turmoil. We may even see our own heart fearful. Oh, but thank God there's mercy, there's grace, and there's peace. Because we have what? The promise of life. The promise that God has given to us through our Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless us tonight and tomorrow, all these days ahead, that we realize these are the good things of the Lord and they belong to me. Let's stand tonight.